Thanks for tuning into the show. Today's episode, we actually have a cat in my lap, so please excuse any fumbling into the microphone. She's very needy for attention, and as much as I'd like to give my full attention to you, unfortunately, I guess, you know, cats don't really seem to care. So let's get into the episode. So today's episode is called Ideas, Ideas, Ideas. And if you haven't guessed it, today's about generating ideas. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Now, when I was younger, I would have an idea that I thought was good enough to, you know, catapult me to success. And I wouldn't share that idea with anybody because I was fearful that somebody would poach my idea and then I would have no more and I would forever, for the rest of my life, suffer from a resentment that, oh, I should have never shared that idea because someone stole it. And I would have been living high on the horse, but because I shared that idea, someone stole it from me, and now I'm stuck to live in this life. But, you know, that's not realistic. When I shared that I was much younger when I first had this thought. When I shared this thought of not sharing my ideas with my father, he said he had a similar thought when he was younger. And one of his professors said to him, so he was older than I was when I first had this thought. He was in college. His professor said, you know, I get what you're saying. Lots of people though share similar ideas, and the beauty of your mind is not a deserted wasteland. Once you come up with an idea, that's not it. The buck doesn't stop there. You'll come up with more and more, and some will suck, and some will be good, some will be better than the one you thought was the best, and that's just how it works. So instead of getting hung up on the best idea, something that someone will steal, have peace of mind that it'll never end. Your mind is not a desolate wasteland, and as good as this idea seems, a better one will probably come by later. A much better one. You can't think of what that idea is right now. You don't know because you're not there yet. You see, an idea is, it's a growth process. It's not a stop, like a stop at a train station. It's not that, it's the ride of the train. That's the idea. The longer you stay on the train, the more the idea develops. People like to get off at the first stop because they're impatient. But try to sit a little bit longer and try to let that idea ruminate in your head. Try to find connections to that idea that are odd. You'd be surprised where it could lead you. So these are a couple steps that I use to further develop my ideas, whether it be for a blog, a podcast, a client, anything. So anything brainstorming related that you need to accomplish, this podcast should help you. So let's get into step one. So for step one, what you need is a space with no distractions. Whatever drink you like, my favorite drink is iced coffee. Put on your favorite music. Often I'll put on an entire Grateful Dead record and just start writing. And I don't care what you write. I don't care if you write 500 pages of all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. It doesn't matter. Write anything. This process right now, the first step of the idea generation process is you have to allow yourself to write garbage. Think of it like this. If the writing is the actual sporting event, it's the big game, it's the Stanley Cup final, that's what writing is to you. The athletes don't drink all day long and then just show up 5 minutes before the game starts. They're preparing for the big game. They're preparing for the event. How do they do that? They wake up in the morning, they have a good breakfast. They get themselves in a good mental state. Then they exercise or stretch before the game. Because stretching your muscles before the game will ensure less chance of injury during the game, and it will ensure that you're at your peak performance, because before you're getting into the nitty-gritty, you're warming up. And that's what allowing yourself to write garbage is doing. You're allowing your muscles, your brain, your consciousness to wake up. You know, you're slapping it across the face saying, it's time to be conscious now. It's not time to be on autopilot anymore. We need to think. We need to generate ideas. Allowing yourself to write through the garbage is essentially doing your morning stretches before you exercise. People are apprehensive to do this, and I can understand why. You'll see the garbage that you write is something you wouldn't even want to show your worst enemy. But it's okay. This is the cathartic process of vomiting that excess garbage up. You know, you retain so much nonsense in your mind that putting it on a page allows you to remove it from yourself. That's what this is. You can burn the page later. You can throw it out. You can put it in the garbage disposal. You can eat it. You can send it to your worst enemy. Whatever you got to do. But it's out of you now. And now all that's left is the cream of the crop. And this is when writing quality and generating actual ideas that you feel are valuable will start to flourish. But these ideas do not come until you allow yourself to start writing garbage first. As I previously said, you're stretching your mind muscles. So you're allowing yourself to work up the energy to write well. You see, what people don't understand is they think an idea just happens in an instant. Oh, this is a great idea. It just happened to me all of a sudden. Came to me in a light bulb. That's not how it happens. It's always failure that leads to good ideas. The more you fail, the more crazy connections you make to things completely unrelated to what you're writing about, the better your article will be, the more unique it'll be, and the more you will stand out amongst your peers. So don't look at writing poorly as a negative exercise. If anything, it's the one thing that all successful writers do, allowing themselves to write poorly. If you write poorly every single day, you're closer to being a real writer than most people are. And most people think they're writers, but they're not because they don't write enough. If you want to be a real writer, don't tell your friends you're a writer, just do it. Because that's what real writers do. And that's coming from someone who gets paid to write. So by definition, I think I could call myself a writer because someone has given me money to write for them before. So rather than having the title of a writer, live the title of a writer. Just write. You don't have to tell anyone you're doing it. You can if you want, but who cares? Just write, just write, just write. That's what you have to do. Write terribly, write well, just write. I'm telling you, it's the best way to do it. But now it's time for step two. Okay, so let me get this straight. You've written terribly, and now you're still coming to me saying, Lauren, I've now spent an hour, 45 minutes, even 2 hours writing nothing but garbage, and I still feel I have nothing to show for it. I understand your frustration. I've been in that same state, where I followed my own advice, I've written terribly, and I still feel like I'm not producing anything, and I've been writing and writing and writing, now I'm exhausted from writing, and I still need to write an actual article. I've done nothing but write garbage. And now I'm fearful, saying, I've spent this entire time wasting my time writing garbage, allowing myself to write garbage in hopes that I can generate ideas. And you know what? Nothing came from it. And that sucks. It's a very uncomfortable feeling to feel like you've put in a lot of effort and there's no results to show for it. But I'll give you a hint that's worked for me. Something that I thought I was smarter than, but you know what? As smart as we think we are, as self-aware as we think we are, we're still not fully there. So while this tip may sound like tip one, it's slightly different. Let me explain to you why. Tip number two is explore the random. And you say, well, how is exploring the random any different than writing garbage? Because you're not writing as much now. Now you're learning. You're shutting off the creating part and you're turning on the listening part. So you've now written garbage. You've now written a little bit of something. So that part of your brain is now triggered. That part is already written. You've already used the cognitive functions of your brain to create words on a page. That part has been done. You've already exercised that part of your brain. The other part of your brain that now needs to be exercised is the listening part, the retaining part, the learning information part. How are we going to do this? We are going to explore whatever the hell you want. This is your chance to get paid to do whatever you feel is fun for you. I'm not saying go play video games. Learn something you don't know about, whether that's psychology, whether that's about how McDonald's hamburgers are made, whether it's about fashion or the latest trends. Doesn't matter what it is. Go down any rabbit hole. Learn about history. Go watch a documentary on something. Because you'll never know what new information can make connections for you that allow you to see something from a new angle. Now, it sounds crazy, philosophical, it sounds meta and abstract, so I'm going to try to find you a specific example. I've written many articles. One of those articles I've written about was about dealing with anxiety, self-awareness, and gratitude. And writing this, I had a tough time finding content about how I could explain gratitude and how I could share the importance of how gratitude is. What I'm trying to say is I wanted to share with the reader the importance of adding gratitude to your life and backing it up by science, and I felt that was hard to articulate. So I began to follow my own advice, and I explored the random. And part of the random that I explored allowed me to go on to the Joe Rogan Experience. Joe Rogan started talking about World War II and something called Zyklon B. Zyklon B allowed me to research the Holocaust, which led me to Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl is a Holocaust survivor and psychologist that studied, essentially, gratitude, and he himself experienced gratitude while in concentration camps. He said to himself, while I am here, as terrible as it is, it's a good thing that I am here because I can then share this experience with my students when I am a free man to show them of the atrocities that happened in the concentration camps. Now, to take a negative experience and to spin it positively gave me quite a bit to learn about, and then even more to write about. So as you can see, I would have never come upon Viktor Frankl if I never gave myself the opportunity to explore the random. Because one stepping stone leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to an article, which leads to more information, which leads to new connections, which gives you more of a platform to speak on, because then you have more to say, and you're not just saying things off the top of your head, you're saying things based on things you've read, things you've learned. And that allows people to look at you as a more knowledgeable individual, not because you're faking it, but because you've taken the time to explore the random and share things that interest you. That's all it is. And that's what we do with each other. We share facts in hopes to learn from one another. We all know things someone else doesn't know, so by sharing and communicating with one another, we're able to learn and adapt and evolve. And that's all this is. So you've explored the random, you've written garbage, you still are saying, Lauren, I followed your advice, I feel like I've wasted half a day, and I still have nothing to show for it. What's going on? What am I doing? Are you wasting my time? I can assure you I'm not. If you've tried these two things, and you still feel that you can't generate ideas, don't lose hope. There's still a chance for you. Something that I never acknowledged that was a huge detriment to my ability to write was my space. You see, we get comfortable in our living situations, and we then associate those situations with comfort. For example, if you sleep in your bed, you're going to have a tough time working in your bed because your subconscious is saying, I use this place for relaxation, comfort, and sleep. Why would I then use the same place for discomfort and thinking and working? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So you're never going to want to associate your bed with working if you associate your bed with sleep. So they always say, don't eat in your bed. They always say, don't work in your bed. You'll have a tougher time sleeping because if you force yourself to associate your bed with working, you won't be able to wind down in your bed. Your bed should only be for sleeping. All psychologists say this. Don't believe me? Google it. Following that logic, the same applies to your house. My computer that I edit on, that I work on, that I write on, I also play games on. I also watch movies on, Netflix. I've noticed over time, the comfort that I feel in my room is too comforting to work sometimes. More often than not. Unless I'm doing a job that is plugging in numbers or something more analytical but not creative driven, I'm able to do it because it's very robotic to me. Plug in the numbers, follow the math, do this, do that, you know? Scheduling, for example, very easy for me to do in my comfort zone because it's analytical, it's numbers, I just sit down like a robot, I force myself to do it, when the timer's done, the job is done. But when it comes to creating, when it comes to abstract thinking, when it comes to writing, when it comes to actually working and creating marketing ideas for clients, I cannot be in my comfort zone. I need to be in a place of resistance, a place that creates just enough adrenaline to force me to think differently, force me to think out of the box. So what am I saying here? Change your space. If you want, you can go to a coffee shop, you can go to the library, you can go to a park and listen to the birds chirp. Simply changing your environment will change how your mind interprets things. Now this also sort of coincides with tip number two, where it's explore the random, because changing your space will force you to interact with different things that normally you wouldn't interact with day to day. And that will change your thinking patterns because you're maybe reading signs or stores or seeing cars or animals that make you go to different places, and then you can make new connections that also will help you develop ideas. But something about just changing your environment that you're working in, I cannot express how powerful of a tool this is for helping you changing your thought process, whether it's changing your mood or changing the way you're making connections. Something about changing your space, even if it's a noisy space where it's difficult to think. In the subconscious, ideas are being planted, I promise. And this podcast sounds like I'm telling you to slack off constantly, but I mean, like, you can Google the science. All the science is there. Changing your environment, changing your routine, changing the way you go day to day will change your thought patterns. And as a result, it will allow you to generate new ideas. And that's what this podcast is about, generating new ideas. So changing your space, exploring the random, writing garbage, these things will allow you to generate ideas that you once couldn't have generated without these things, because they've allowed you to put yourself in situations you would not have been in before. And as a result, you're experiencing new things, which give you new ideas. And that's why this works. It's as simple as that, truthfully. Now, I have one extra tip that could work for you. And a lot of people don't use this resource, and that's your friends. You know, you have so many friends that are not in your business, friends that see things through different perspectives than you do, because if you're a marketer, for example, you look at everything from an analytical perspective. Even if you're a creative, I'm a creative person. I'm definitely a right brain thinker, but I still look at things from an analytical perspective in the sense that what's our return on investment? What's it going to cost versus how much can we potentially make? What's our end goal? What's the likelihood that people will actually sign up if we do this? What's in it for them? Things like that. When you ask someone not marketing related about an idea marketing related, they'll come up with such answers that may not be necessarily right by the standards of marketing, but from a human perspective, it's more real than you could ever imagine. And that's what we're doing. We're selling to humans. So what I highly recommend more than anything else in this list is ask your friends for help. It doesn't matter how silly their ideas are. They will generate such incredible ideas for you that will allow you to then implement them into your marketing plan. You'll be surprised. And the reason for that is not because they're some kind of mystic or they see the future, but it's because they're human. And they're looking at things from the human experience. When you're looking at things from marketing experience, there's a big difference. When people can be honest and share things to you from a human experience, the honesty that resonates and the insights that resonate from that experience is like nothing you'd be able to find in a textbook. And that's why speaking to your friends is so important. So when you're trying to generate ideas, allow yourself to write garbage, explore the random, change your space, talk to your friends. If you do all four of those things and you still can't generate ideas, maybe you need to take yourself into the shop and get yourself re-examined, because maybe something's not working properly. I want to thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope this podcast helped you generate ideas. If it did, reach out to me on Twitter. I'd love to get in touch. If you'd like to be hosted on the podcast, maybe we can have a conversation about something interesting. Reach out to me on Twitter at lbrainstein, on Instagram at lbrainstein. You can check out my website at www.spacetree.ca. And until next time, Lauren Bronstein out.